Hello and welcome to Bots and Bolts, the official podcast of the Livonia Warriors. I'm Jaden, and I'm joined by my co-host, Daniel.
Hey, guys.
Today's guest is Jason, our communications mentor.
Hi, guys. Thank you for having me. I've kind of been here behind the scenes doing all this work, so it's nice to actually be on the mic chat.
So, Jason, what is your role on the team?
My role is I am on the communications team, and I am in charge and in charge of sort of producing the podcast and posting it and editing it and kind of, you know, anything related to the podcast.
What got you
into podcasting?
Yeah.
Let's see, what is it, 2024? So I would say 2012, 2013, my friends and I started an independent podcast network, focusing initially on video game podcasts, but then branching out into things like Dungeons and Dragons, movies, TV shows, and I've just kind of been doing it ever since.
So you do podcasting a lot of outside robotics, correct? Is that correct?
Yeah.
Have you done it before in robotics, before our FRC season?
My son is a sixth grader, or is a seventh grader, and is on the FTC team, so the middle school team. And I showed up to help be a mentor there. And through the course of the year, it kind of got brought up that I did podcasts, and I thought it was a good idea that maybe we do a podcast for FTC. So I started doing that with them and hosting the show with my son as the co-host, and then interviewing the kids and the mentors about their experiences with FTC, kind of similar to what we do here. But it started last year with FTC.
What has been the biggest difference between podcasting with FRC versus FTC?
It's kind of a different beast. With FTC, because I'm the host of it and I've been doing it for as long as I have, because I've been podcasting for as long as I have, I should say, it's easier for me to just drop in, put out an episode get an episode recorded in an hour and be done with it. Whereas here, part of my job is not only to produce the podcast, but actually help the two of you become better at public speaking and doing that as well. So there's a fair amount of teaching that I do about podcasting to the two of you that I didn't necessarily do on FTC because, you know, I was kind of running the show myself, essentially. So it's a different, like I said, different beast. It's a lot more teaching here than it would be that it is on the FTC side of things.
Now, obviously you podcast a lot, but what do you do other than podcasting in your day to day?
My day to day? Well, I work for Rocket Loans. I work in their title division, so I do title production for refinances. When I'm home, I do a lot of cooking, so I'm kind of the primary cook in the house. I enjoy cooking a lot. And then I also play video games, you know, with the kids, and that's it. I mean, really, it's a lot of that. And I do some gaming on Thursdays. I play a lot of D&D.
What have you learned while being here?
Here in FRC?
Here, yes. Just mentoring with either just first robotics overall.
Well, I mean, I kind of been mentoring most of my life. I started mentoring when I was young. I used to coach softball teams when I was in high school. Like younger kids, I'd coach elementary school kids in softball teams when I was a high schooler. And I've kind of done something along those lines every year since. So I've been mentoring kind of my whole life. Like I did softball, and then I was a marching band instructor for a few years. And then when I got into, jobs, I've taken on mentoring roles in leadership positions at different jobs that I've had. So I've kind of always done mentoring of some sort. So you pick up little things along the way, like how to talk to people, how to kind of get the best out of them, how to help them see their own potential and then realize that potential. Hopefully, at least that's the plan.
Now, what are some things you've learned from mentoring in robotics?
When I first started doing this, I had no idea what was involved in robotics. I assumed like I'd show up, I'd put together some motors or wheels or whatever, and then that would be it. You know, I didn't really think about, I didn't realize there was a whole aspect of like imagery, for instance. Like I didn't realize you guys thought about stuff like that. Or here at FRC, sustainability, both economically and environmentally. You know, that's not something we talk about in FTC as much. So from an FRC level, you know, learning about what it takes to actually run a program and keep a program running, and, you know, having sponsors and fulfilling those sponsors' needs, while at the same time building a quality robot that can compete in whatever the game happens to be this year. Like, I've learned there's a lot more to this than just building a robot and running it through a game.
What has been the biggest learning curve you've been through in this process?
That's a good question. Biggest learning curve. I would say, honestly, finding my place here. Like, just finding a way that I can contribute with what I'm good at. FTC was particularly difficult because, you know, we had people there who had been mentors for several years. You know, both of your dads, actually, are great examples of that. And they're both very good at doing the things that they do. They have a recognized place, a recognized thing that they do when they get here. Same thing with Mr. Perrin, who runs the FTC program. He kind of runs things and organizes and, you know, signs the team up for events and stuff, and does all the programming and things like that. So it was the biggest learning curve was finding where I can be a productive kind of member of the team as a mentor, without being in anybody's way or stepping on toes, or just sort of finding my place. That was the most difficult part. And oddly enough, it ended up being podcasting. Like, I had no idea. I came in thinking, like I said, I was going to build a bunch of stuff. Turns out I just put a microphone in front of my face and we're good to go, apparently. So that worked out.
What did you do with FTC besides podcasting?
I also helped out on their presentation team. As I said before, I've been in a lot of leadership positions in various jobs that I've had, which have required me to become good at presenting and making presentations and public speaking. But I've also gotten good at teaching people how to do those things. So that was also kind of another natural fit. Whereas during the week, I'd come in and I'd podcast, but on competition days, I'd be there kind of troubleshooting and helping the kids with their presentations. So that's kind of my other main function on the team, other than the podcasting, is you know, rewriting the presentations, helping the kids become better public speakers, and teaching them how to present this stuff in a way to where the judges are going to really understand their points and provide a good presentation, essentially.
Now, with all the things you've done, mentoring wise in robotics, what have been your favorite thing to do?
My favorite thing? I mean, I kind of just enjoy, like, chatting with you guys, not specifically you guys. I mean, yes, you guys, the two of you, but also everybody on the different teams. I that's kind of my favorite part about mentoring, is just learning about the kids and seeing where they start at the beginning of the year to where they finish. Because there's a lot here in robotics that there's a lot that robotics can teach you other than just building things. And it's great seeing, for example, last year we had a kid, or this past in FTC, there was one of the kids who was not a very good public speaker. He couldn't really understand how to slow his words down and enunciate properly. And it was great seeing him from the first competition sort of stumble over his words to the last competition and last presentation, where he was nailing it every time. Like, he just seeing that progression of how he got better and better and better, and then seeing his confidence grow. Because that confidence, the confidence, when it grows, it's infectious. Like, when you get confident doing something, it carries over to everything you do. Like, you just become a better version of yourself when you find something that you're confident doing. And it was great seeing the kids go from timid and shy and not really knowing what to do to getting that confidence and then being able to carry it over in other things in their life. That's my favorite part, is seeing the growth from the kids in that I'm mentoring.
Sort of wrapping things up here, what does gracious professionalism mean to you?
Gracious professionalism to me, it means competing while being a good sport, you know, is kind of primarily it, but also recognizing where you can help out other teams and not being afraid to help out other teams, thinking it'll hurt you in the process. Because the reality is, this competition, yes, it's a competition, but it's for everybody to learn. It's for everybody to grow. And the most important thing you can do is give that helping hand to a team that might be struggling, so that they can get the the help that they need to, you know, achieve greater things. And then in return, you might be on the other end of it. You might need that help at some point. Maybe, you know, a wheel dies or a wheel breaks or your control stick fails on you. You need to get a new controller. You know, anything could happen. And putting yourself out there to help other teams will in turn allow them to help you. And it just makes everything better. It helps bring the level of competition up, the level of camaraderie up, because ultimately that's what all this is. It's all about building a community of people focused on the same goals and just to achieve greater things. That's what I think robotics kind of essentially boils down to, is just, you know, camaraderie in achievement.
Well, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, guys. I really appreciate it.
We're going to give our next segment a little twist. We're going to have Jason, our communications mentor and podcast producer, interview Jaden and I.
Yeah, we figured that'd be a good idea. The two of you haven't really been interviewed for this yet. You've hosted, obviously, the past couple episodes. I thought it was a good idea to maybe let our listeners know a little bit about the two of you. So I first met the two of you with FTC. My son, like I said previously, is part of FTC, and the two of you are student mentors there and driving coaches. So what's that experience been like for the two of you?
So with being a driving coach for the middle school, it's definitely been a different experience than driving in high school. You'll not only be able to have to teach, but also teach in a simple manner where anybody can pick it up, and then you'll have to be able to re-explain it tons of times.
My experience has been very similar to Jaden's, where coaching, very much different from driving myself in a match. I've got to be able to make all the calls, make all the decisions for them on the fly, and then also give them good constructive feedback following the match, you know, just specific maneuvers I want them to try, or just maybe code changes, or just customization, and also just showing them basics of the game.
So those skills that you developed in learning how to mentor, learning how to teach people to drive, those were things that were passed down to you when you were younger?
Sadly, no. We did not have any student mentors.
Okay.
When we were on the team. However, thankfully, with the Tyros program that the Livonia Warriors run, we got the chance to not only be mentored by our fellow students, but also then get to mentor as well.
Okay, so you guys started. So you started as Tyros. I guess explain that. We've never really gone over that. Who are the Tyros in relation to the Livonia Warriors?
So the Tyros are just the freshman team. All the freshmen that come into the Livonia Warriors program join the Tyros, and they get to build their own robot with their own programming. And all of them, they act as their own, but working as sister teams with the Warriors. And the reason for it is so the freshmen actually get good involvement and learning all the same STEM skills as all the Warriors, because generally, as with all robotics teams, the seniors, juniors, upperclassmen all do a little bit more, and the freshmen can learn the same skills early on.
So it's sort of a feeder program?
Yes, it's definitely a feeder program, and it also allows for sophomores and juniors to be able to mentor their fellow students by helping out with the Tyros.
Okay, excellent. So you developed your skills then mentoring the Tyros and then carrying it over to FTC?
Correct.
So you both started in FTC, right?
Yes. We both started in seventh grade. Daniel is a year younger than me, so he started after me.
Mm-hmm.
But we both started in seventh grade. And my seventh grade year was the first year that FTC went to States for Frost. And then Daniel came in, and I believe it was the second year.
That's correct. I didn't start driving, though, like Jaden did immediately. I started that just last summer, and it was just kind of him throwing me pointers at me for driving, and we kind of both took those same ideas and just applied them to the Frost students.
How did the two of you get into robotics in general?
So I had a really good friend that was on the Frost middle school team, and they dragged me along into it, and I very much enjoyed it.
So they dragged you along at first, but then you realized, yes, like what a great thing it is.
Yes. Not too long after they dragged me in, I ended up spending more time there than they did.
So my story is almost exactly the same as his, where it was Jaden's friend's younger brother who just kind of dragged me in. We were in the same grade, and he was like, hey, you should do it. This is awesome. And I was like, fine, whatever. And now I don't think I have a greater passion or ever will.
Right. So it kind of grows on you.
Yeah, definitely.
What do you find is the most enjoyable thing for you?
For me, it's just once you build the robot, just seeing it work and seeing all the kids who've worked so hard on it, like their faces glow, and it's just, for me, a very satisfying feeling.
I like the two-part season, with build season, working as a team, coming up with concepts, ideas, and building the robot and watching it go just from just little bits of metal, building up all the way to what you want to compete. And that's the other great part, going and competing, getting ideas from other teams, making your robot even better and better so you can make it compete at the highest level. It's a real joy to see once you're at, you know, states or worlds.
So that feeling of accomplishment is really a real big driving force.
For sure.
Yes.
Speaking of competitions, you guys just had your first competition this past weekend. I saw the results of it. It looked to me like you guys did pretty well considering first time out for this game.
Going in to the competition, we felt very unprepared. We didn't have much driver practice at all, and we were just kind of winging it, seeing how it goes, and working on the fly. And that was just how it was the whole competition. We were pulling through matches, ended up ranking 8th with a ton of random bugs in our robot, and overall turned out to be a solid performance.
So you overcame quite a bit in order to put some good performances out on the field?
Yeah.
There's definitely a lot of fixing on the fly and trying to overcome our issues that stopped us from competing at our highest level. Mm-hmm. But eventually, at the end of the day, we ended up fixing those issues.
So you finished in 8th, you said. Yep. Out of how many teams were there?
36.
36, so that's pretty good. You know.
We were an alliance cap. We were captain of alliance number 6. Mm-hmm. And playoffs didn't go super well. Still came out pretty solid, I would say.
Thankfully, our robot didn't have any issues during playoffs. Sadly, it was the other team's robot. Mm-hmm. But we worked hard to get them up to where they could be.
And that's a good example of gracious professionalism, is making sure you're helping out your teammates as well. Overall, what did you think of the competition? Was Crescendo... Was he actually competing in Crescendo, the game this year? Was it what you expected it to be?
Sort of. I mean, our robot wasn't able to score in the amp yet. We're looking to add a way to do that going into Livonia, our next competition. But that was the one thing I was really looking forward to, is seeing all the different implementations of strategy and just how to play the game. Because this game is especially different just with the whole amplification. It was interesting to see the rest of playoffs. The Alliance 1 and 2 used a lot of amplification to really propel their scores above everybody else.
What strategies did you see there that worked better than you expected them to?
So for me, I thought designating a defense bot worked really well in this competition.
Okay.
And I know a lot of us gave it an oversight. Mainly because 98% of the time with these games, you just want to have 3 offense, just score as many points as possible. However, we saw a defense bot work amazingly well.
Were they part of the winning alliance?
Yes, the winning alliance had an amazing defense bot.
What kind of defense did they put up? Like, what was their strategy for defending?
So they defended around the speaker in the amp, preventing us from getting in the optimal spot to shoot. However, they also... was just trying to gum up the midfield so then they can defend multiple robots at the same time.
I would have never even considered that. You're right. All the games that I've seen have been 90%, like, whoever can score the most points. I wouldn't have even considered a defensive stance or having one of your alliance mates, one of your teammates, act as a defensive front to prevent the other team from scoring. That is a pretty ingenious strategy. And you said it was very effective?
It was way more effective than we were expecting it to be.
Do you think it's a strategy you guys will try and implement? Or is your robot even designed to do something like that?
Our robot can do it. However, we'd like to focus on more of the scoring because that's typically what we are better at. However, we'd be willing to play defense had a team need us to.
For one of our matches, half of our shooter went down, and we kind of played like a passive defense with delivery on the side as well. And it seemed pretty effective as well for that match. So... it'll be basically like a back pocket sort of deal. We'll pull it out if we have something go wrong with our intake, a shooter as well.
So like a backup strategy in case your initial strategy doesn't work out the way you'd like it to.
Yeah.
So what are you looking forward going into this next competition? What kind of improvements are you guys looking to make?
So we're looking to improve everything on our robot. We had issues, minor or major, with everything on our robot. So we're looking to fix just about everything. We're going to get a new intake. We're looking at a new shooter. We're looking at a way to score in the amp, trying to fix some of our swerve code. But we're honestly looking forward to having a fully 100% functional robot to compete at the highest tier of play.
Just excited to be more prepared this time around. We'll have everything at least set, so it would have been ready where we wanted to be for maybe week one or week two. We were not as ready as we wanted to be for this past weekend.
Overall, what types of things have you learned this year that are new? I mean, obviously the two of you are veterans as far as the team goes. Is there anything you've picked up over the last few weeks of this competition that is new to you? New strategies, new ways to go about things, new ideas, any kind of new skills you've developed?
I learned a lot about balancing my time, both just here, balancing the podcast with working mechanical and drive team and all that stuff, and also balancing it with just my everything else, my schoolwork, being on the esports team, marching band, scout troop. Been quite an experience this year, especially.
I've definitely learned it takes a lot more to build one of these robots than I previously thought. Last year, I took a kind of step back from robotics to kind of focus more on trying to get my balance down. This year, I stepped up robotics a little bit, and it's kind of surprising me a little bit of just honestly how much man hours it takes to fully put one of these together.
That is a skill that I learned much later in life, is how to balance, you know, we call it work-life balance. Balancing your responsibilities to the things you need to do, job-related, school-related, work-related, versus, you know, your home life, you know, relationships with the people around you, self-care, like just being able to get a good night's sleep even sometimes is difficult. So the fact that you're learning it now is a good thing. You'll be able to carry that on to the rest of your life and hopefully improve upon that skill the further you go. So as we wrap things up here, I want to turn the tables and ask the two of you this question. You were on the FTC podcast, and I've asked you this question before. I'm interested to hear your answers now that it's been several months later. What does gracious professionalism mean to the two of you? You guys knew this was coming.
Yeah. Gracious professionalism to me means working as a team, cooperating with your competition, helping out, and you want to be competing with everybody else at their best. Make sure you help bring everybody else to their best, as you are too.
To me, gracious professionalism means do the right thing even when no one's looking. Just because your opponent broke doesn't mean that you say, yay me, you want to go help fix the robot. Make sure that they're competing at the same level as you are. You want to make sure every match is fair. You don't want to play dirty. You also want to just help out everyone in need.
So cooperation is a word that's kind of tossed around. Competitive cooperation, helping people out while still being competitive with them. Thank you for sharing some information with us, sharing about yourselves today. It's nice to kind of pull back the curtain and let people know who's asking the questions sometimes. So I appreciate that. And thank you for allowing me to do this.
Thank you.
Thank you for doing it. Thank you for joining us on this week's episode of Bots and Bolts, the official podcast of the Livonia Warriors. If you'd like to contact us, please email us at botsandbolts@livoniawarriors.org. If you have any questions or want information on FIRST, please visit firstinspires.org. And if you'd like to learn more about the Livonia Warriors, please visit livoniawarriors.org. Thank you for joining us this week.